Chapter 4. The River. It took some time to find leaves wide and strong enough for the roof. The first batch Fred tried tore in his hands. The second turned out to have something in them that made his skin turn red and itchy. But the third tree had fleshy leaves as long as his arm. He and Lila tore them into strips and then wove them into great squares, which they wedged in and out of the branches of the trunks. Con sat on the grass outside the den, digging a hole in the ground with a twig. Fred crawled into the den and looked up. The sun no longer filtered through a thousand ant holes. The light inside was green, a dark, sunken treasure colour. He felt an unexpected surge of happiness roaring through him. "It's good," he called. "You can barely see the gaps." He heard Lila cheer. Fred backed out of the den and stood up a little bit too fast. Suddenly, his head reeled. Colours were flashing in front of his eyes. His lungs tied in a double knot.
"Are you all right?" asked Lila.
"Fine, fine," he said, more briskly than he had intended. Since his pneumonia, he hated being asked if he was all right. He tried to smile a little.
"Thanks," he added.
Fred had been sent to Brazil to recover from his pneumonia with a distant cousin. However, that cousin's idea of a good time involved playing cards in a dark drawing room in the house. But his father had said it was the only sensible option.
"I can't be at home to look after you," he'd said. "The firm needs me."
"I can look after myself," Fred wheezed.
"That's not possible," his father said gruffly.
He had worked longer and longer hours each year since Fred could remember. Fred could not remember his mother's face, except when he was asleep. He'd never seen his father dressed in anything other than a suit, and over time, the suit seemed to have seeped into his father's skin. His voice practically wore a tie.
"You're treating me like a baby," Fred had said.
"Nonsense," his father replied. "Come on, you're a sensible boy."
Fred's boarding school report always contained that word, sensible. Sometimes, when they could clearly think of nothing else to say, they added, "increasingly tall." Fred knew he was none of those things, or rather, he was tall. Nobody would have argued about that. He grew out of his clothes so fast that his ankles were constantly cold. But Fred's mind was quick, with sharp edges. He wanted more from the world than it had yet given. Now he tried to smile at Lila.
"I'm just dehydrated. We need to find something to drink," he said. "You can live for a long time without eating."
"No, you absolutely can't," said Max indignantly.
"But you can't live long without water." "Do you think we can drink from the..."
Lila hesitated, searching for the words.
"Tiny pool?"
Fred looked across at the puddle of water.
"We could, but I don't think we'd live for very long if we did. But we're near the river. We must be," he said.
"Yeah, it was on our left when we crashed," said Lila.
"Which direction did we run?" said Con. "Well, the sun rises in the east, so facing this way, left is northeast," said Fred.
"How does that help if we don't know which direction we ran?" snapped Con.
She was pale, and there were circles under her eyes, as if somebody had pressed a paint-smeared thumb through her face.
"Well, it doesn't much," admitted Fred.
But northeast of here was England. The thump in his chest slowed slightly. Northeast led to his bedroom at home, his bookcase, his cricket bat up against the wall. It also led to his father. Con squared her shoulders as if she was getting ready to fight.
"Are we just going to guess then?"
"I heard," Fred said, "that you can follow ants and they'll take you to water."
"Ants," said Con. "We're going to take directions from ants."
Lila stared hard at Con, and then at the ground, combing the leaves with her eyes.
Do you have a different suggestion? She said.
Khan sighed and bent to look under a log. The first set of ants was a disappointment. Max found a trail of tiny red ones and bent down to touch them.
Look, they're shiny.
Don't touch, said Lila, snatching him back. Some ants out here are dangerous.
These ones? Asked Khan, taking a step backwards.
I don't know. That's the problem. The dangerous ones are called bullet ants. But I don't know what they look like.
Bullets, presumably, said Khan.
Not necessarily, said Lila. Dogfish don't look like dogs. I remember being very disappointed.
These ones just look like ants, said Max.
You're still not allowed to touch them, said Lila. So don't try.
They walked at a safe distance, all four of them with their chins on their chests, along a snaking line of trees. The ants led them to a large pile of leaves.
Oh.
Fred nudged the leaves with a stick, just in case there was water underneath. He jumped back. The ants were swarming all over the carcass of a bird. It looked like it had once been a vulture. Now, though, it was equal parts bone and rotten smell.
That isn't exactly what I was hoping for.
You could not, he thought, trust an ant.
Well, what now then?
Asked Khan, crossing her arms.
Let's try again, said Lila. Maybe those were the wrong kind of ants.
It was Lila who found the trail of larger ants, ants with heads as big as a pin. They followed the track deep into the woods, Lila leading. Fred watched her. She was small and moved on the edge of her muscles like an animal, a deer, as if she heard things other people did not.
Can't believe we're trusting ants, said Khan, brushing a cobweb out of her hair and ducking under a branch. Even in the fairy stories, it's a wise owl or something. Nobody goes to the bloody ants for help.
She looked defiantly at Fred as she said the word bloody, and then a torn caught on the skin above her eyebrow, and she let out a yelp.
I hate this place!
Fred looked back and found, with a lurch in his stomach, that the clearing had entirely disappeared.
Which way is the way back?
He said. The green of the forest seemed to close in around them.
Left at that tree that was covered in mushrooms, then right at the bush with the green thorns, said Khan.
She didn't even look at him. Didn't see the surprise on his face, which he immediately tried to hide.
We should mark a path, he said, so that we can find our way back.
Fine, said Khan. Unless you want to ask the opinion of, I don't know, maybe a passing worm?
Fred tried to grin.
Well, worms are much slower than ants. They'd make terrible guides.
She didn't smile back. Fred slipped to the back of the group. Every three or four trees, he broke a branch and stuck a leaf on the hinge it made. Khan shook her head.
That's not going to do any good. You need something bigger.
She tore one of the ruffles off of her white blouse and tied it to the tree.
There.
Fred turned to look at her. Crouched in the dappled light, she moved stiffly, as if she wasn't used to her own body. Her own clothes seemed to sit on her like a bear trap.
Good thing you've got some ruffles to spare,
Fred said, smiling. Khan turned on him, the kind of look that would break a nose.
Oh, do be quiet, cricket jumper.
Fred took a step backwards.
I only meant... It's useful to have clothing with extra bits attached. Boys' clothes don't. Fine. Whatever you say. You don't have to try to be nice to me, you know.
What? Fred stared, confused.
I just want to be out of this vile place and back to school. I don't mean to be rude, but I'm not really interested in making friends. Especially not with little children.
Lila heard them.
I'm not a little kid, she said quietly. I'm just small for my age.
How old are you?
Con turned to Fred. Fred told her.
But that's hardly older than me, said Con.
And me, said Lila.
I thought you were much older, said Con.
Fred shrugged.
Just tall, he said.
But that means there's no adults. Not even any nearly adults. Just four children in the Amazon jungle.
That, Fred said,
sounds true.
Unfortunately, said Lila.
Unfortunately,
echoed Max. He wandered off a few paces, blowing nose bubbles with his snot. Lila ran after him, grabbed him by the sleeve.
Stay close, she said.
Her face was bones, eyes, and nerves. As they walked on, a smell came to Fred on the air. Something sharp and fresh. Something smelt more blue than green.
Is that the river? I think I can smell it, he said.
Don't be ridiculous, said Con. You can't smell what...
Then she broke off. Through the thickly ranged trees, Fred could see a flicker of something that moved.
Come on,
cried Con.
I've found the river.